You want to make your fantasy sports league more than a fantasy? Then you need Trophy Smack.
It's the number one store for fantasy and tournament trophies, belts, draft boards, loser awards, and other ridiculous products.
Trophy Smack is more than just a trophy company with outstanding customer service and products. It's the very essence and heart of every fantasy league. And if you click now, TrophySmack.com gives you free shipping, a free loser poster, and can have the hardware to you in a few days, bragging rights included. Go to TrophySmack.com right now and take your fantasy league to the next level.
What's up, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in-season or off-season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Hey, welcome back to Dynasty Happy Hour. It's Doug, it's Tyler, it's Tim, and first of all, I want to wish you happy holidays. Because we all know that the Festivus is among us. Christmas is right around the corner. You celebrated Hanukkah. Awesome. And New Year's as well. This is the last time you're going to hear our voices before the holidays. So we just want to say happy holidays to you. Enjoy your family, whoever you get to hang out with. I know this year is super weird and it's way different than our traditional holiday season. So if you get to spend some time with family, definitely cherish it this year because it's going to be unlike any year we've experienced before, unfortunately. So here's to next year, 2021, being back to normal, large family gatherings, just people being in a jolly mood instead of being like, oh, yeah, Christmas is usually fun, but I can't hang out with family, so it kind of sucks, which is kind of where I've been. But anyway, so it's the first time you heard us in a couple weeks. So Tyler, you're looking festive. You got the Christmas tree behind you. What's new in Minnesota? You got no snow, and I got it all out here. What's up with that?
Yeah, it is terrible. You guys are super lucky to have the snow. What? We hopefully will get some Wednesday. No, okay, you guys laugh, but I love white Christmases.
Good, because you live in Minnesota.
Yeah, and right now we have, on our driveway this morning, we had that like early morning, it flurried a little. It was just a little bit. And then by like 9 o'clock, it was gone. It was just like, oh no, not there. So yeah, we need snow here in Minnesota. So if we could just borrow some, maybe.
That's interesting.
I mean, I'm pretty sure the Eagles owe us for that Super Bowl that they won. So yeah, that'd be great. Get some dump trucks, send it our way. And yeah.
I like it. Tim, how much snow did you guys get?
Where I'm at, we got just under 2 feet.
You got more than I did.
It wasn't too crazy. Luckily, following Lowell's got the backhoe, so the driveway was nice and easy. I just did the sidewalk.
I think you can say that.
it's a piece of construction equipment, but yeah.
Very nice.
So he came over, pushed the driveway clean. But I just wanted to say we're going into championship week next week, fellas.
Mm-hmm.
You guys,
how many you guys got? I've got one possibly, and it's neck and neck. It's my only redraft league. I'm going for back-to-back champs.
Nice. I got one locked in and ready to go in the comic book league that Tyler and I are both in. So I'm locked and ready for that one. My home dynasty league, which I've had a lot of success in, it appears that I am likely to advance, but fingers crossed there's no Big Ben injuries or anything like that. But it looks like I might be making my fifth straight championship game in that league.
Ooh-wee.
So we'll see.
I have two redraft out of my three redraft leagues. I'm going to go to the championship game in. And then dynasty wise, I have one locked in, and that is my league of record. So I'm happy to be back in that one. Let's go. And then in the DHH Patreon league, it's coming down to the wire between myself and Skip. Winner's going to advance to the championship game. If I make it, that's 2 years in a row there in that one.
Nice. Very nice. So we've got some successes to root for next week in week 16, which is always fun. Hopefully we get that nice little Christmas present on Sunday or Monday and boom, we get some league monies. Maybe we get a trophy. You know, maybe that trophy comes from Trophy Smack. I'm hoping that there's, you know, if I lock it up in this comic book league, he's got to make a shipment out to Rhode Island. So I'm really pumped for that. Hopefully that ends up coming true and I end up winning that league, but you never know. This is the year where anything can happen. Mm-hmm. Even if you got a stacked team, like it's happened to me in the past, like don't count your chickens before they hatch type of thing. Anything can happen. So, here's to hope.
But yeah, check out, if you go on it, you can get a championship trophy. Go on trophysmack.com, use code DHHRING. When you order that trophy, that belt, or that gangster grill, you want to look like Paul Wall and your wood grain gripping out there in Texas.
Sitting sideways.
That's right. Tim knows what's up. use code DHHRING and you'll get a free championship ring, which is always pretty awesome. So we're continuing our series of our top 12 dynasty ranks going into 2021. So we've already done quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to do a position which is used to be super important, and now it's kind of like
it sucks. Important
though? No, it is still an important position.
It's very important. This year has shown that it can be very frustrating.
It's volatile.
Very volatile. So we're going to cover our running backs this week.
That's a running back name, actually. Volatile.
Yeah. Vala, and his last name's Tile. Yeah. I think he's Samoan.
Big guy.
He scores, you know, the Haka dance.
4260. Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you. Oh, AJ Dillon. Just talking about it makes me want to have a running back now that is that. Like,
Brandon Jacobs.
College.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was big.
Brandon Eddie Jacobs Lacy there at the end.
Oh, my God. Oh,
let's just call it Derrick Henry.
He's the closest thing. Mm-hmm. He's a manimal out there.
Teach him a Haka dance and let's move on.
You know what I was looking at today? I was watching Red Zone and they were showing Chase Young warming up. And I was like, this dude is like on another planet physically. Yeah. Imagine if he was a running back.
Yeah.
Yeah. He would be like taller Derrick Henry, I think.
Imagine if you took that man's wallet and you had to run from him.
Like, you just don't get near him to take the wallet.
I got a nickname for Chase Young and I think it should be Predator.
Ooh.
Just because the hair. I mean, that's kind
the of hair in the
that what he does on the football field out there hunting QBs.
So I coined years ago that Aaron Donald, I coined him the grizzly bear. And I think that's perfectly like that's spot on. No, it grizzly hasn't caught on.
Huge, though,
I'm looking, like do hashtag grizzly bear Aaron Donald. Let's get this thing moving. That's all I'm saying. I'm with you. All right, so let's get into these running back ranks. We're going to do it a little bit different. So Tyler's going to go first, followed by Tim, and then me. As the players come up, we'll kind of circle around and talk about them in a semi-efficient manner so we don't have too much overlap here. It's always a challenge to do because we have probably very similar names on this list, but obviously the rankings are going to be a little bit different. So if you listen to our quarterback episode, it'll be a lot like that on how it flows. So without further ado, Tyler, your least favorite position this year, because you're like, oh, I hate running backs. Well, they suck, blah, blah, blah. Totally get it. It's frustrating. But you're going to kick us off. Who is your number one dynasty running back going into 2021?
Now, with running back, I feel like I'm going to go more talent. And I feel like youth and talent is what I'm going to shoot for rankings and dynasty. And minus Saquon Barkley, I know he had the ACL injury and his first game was butt ugly. I mean, I think he had 6 carries for negative 184 yards.
I believe that's correct.
I'm not a stats guy, stats and stuff. Stats. You know me, but Saquon Barkley for me is the number one and it's talent. I mean, I think he's the most talented running back in the league. The Giants offense is making Wayne Gallman look better. So maybe when Barkley comes back,
Gallman is just underrated.
So let's not go back in that train from 2017 or so.
Shout out Chris Whitman.
Yeah. Saquon Barkley is one of the most talented, if not the most talented running back in the league. And his first game was ugly, but the offensive line looks better. I mean, Andrew Thomas looks like he's been playing a lot better since week 1 through 5 or so. But yeah, Barkley, hopefully he gets catches out of the backfield. The offense looks to be moving a little more smoother. And like I said, if they can make Wayne Gallman do what he's doing, imagine Barkley in the backfield. So
I think Wayne Gallman's been the number 7 running back over the last 5 or 6 games.
Yeah, and Barkley would be the number 1 plus. Mm-hmm. If that's the case. Yeah, I mean, it's Barkley to me, and I think you can still get him at a decent discount right now, the injury discount. There's going to be a couple running backs. I don't know if you guys have CEH on your list, any of you guys?
You can. We're not spoiling the list.
Okay, I just want to say there's going to be running backs that you can buy low. And Saquon is one of them. And then if CEH is one of them.
I've seen Saquon get moved in quite a few of my dynasty leagues.
Yeah, I've acquired him in a couple. And like I said,
he's starting to hit that point where people are getting frustrated.
Yeah, CH. We all saw the injury. I know we didn't really go through news. He had a bad injury. We're not sure what it is, but he is going to be an offseason kind of, if you have him, you got to hold. But if you don't, he could be very cheap because he was struggling early or struggling later on in the season. And now with this injury, he could be a very sought after player for your team.
Yeah, absolutely. So that brings us to you, Tim. Who is your number one?
I'm gonna go with the same guy I had going into this year. The very injured Christian McCaffrey this season. He's still only 24 as of right now. But he's only played in three games this year.
And I heard he hurt a molar this last week. It could hold him up for like 4 weeks.
I don't know exactly what's been holding him up, but in PPR scoring, his point totals in his three games, 28.5, 25.55, and then 37.1. Mm-hmm. The guy is still, when he's on the field and healthy, still puts up huge numbers, and that's what I'm looking for out of the RB1. And you'd like to think that, you know, he suffered with this bad, catastrophic injury-type year. Next year won't be the same deal. And we're seeing what a guy like Mike Davis is doing there in Carolina. And Mike Davis is not the same talent that Christian McCaffrey is. So I think if Christian can come back, play the majority of the season as a healthy running back, he'll at least be in the top five. So I feel safe putting him here at the number one position.
He is my number two.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm not far off. And the nice thing about McCaffrey in Dynasty is he has that longevity factor. He's a pass catcher, mm-hmm. and he's very good at it. So even if he gets carries taken away from him, he's still going to be that Austin Eckler type. You know, when Eckler was with Melvin Gordon, he's going to be that type of running back for years beyond his prime.
I mean, yeah, week 9 was the last game he played. He had 10 catches.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that makes him. So he's my number one as well, Tim. Mm-hmm. And I'm not so worried about the injuries this year. I think it's just one of those, like, you chalk it up. Like, he tried to come back. This last week in practice, he tweaked a thigh, so he was out. He was been trying to come back, but here's the thing. Like, they just paid him the bag, right? So, yeah. And they're not a winning team. They've got 4 wins on the season. So what's the rush to bring him back? They're going to have a top 10 draft pick. So hopefully they can invest a little bit on an offensive line for him. And, I think people, it's so much recency bias. Like, they look at this year and be like, oh, McCaffrey's been hurt, whatever. But if you look at his workload in college when he was handling over 300 touches, you look at his workload of the first few years of his career, and he hasn't had a major injury. Now, the other argument is like, well, those touches are adding up and he's starting to get hurt. I think it's more of it's like, hey, you know what? Injuries happen and this guy touches the ball a ton. I'm not worried about it in the long term. I think McCaffrey's going to be fine. And if there's anyone that has like the highest of floors and the highest of ceilings, it's Christian McCaffrey. So I think he's definitely deserving of the number one running back spot in Dynasty still. Because what he showed this year is like, dude's on the field, he's going to ball. And that's all you need to know. So, Tyler, we're going to go to our number two. You said it was Christian McCaffrey for you.
Yep.
So unless you got any extra words there, we'll move it on to Tim.
Nope.
My number two is Mr. Dalvin Cook up there in Tyler's hometown, or in Tyler's neighborhood anyways, not necessarily the hometown. Dalvin Cook, again, early on in the career, was dealing with some injuries. People were starting to think, man, maybe this guy will just never, be able to do it. The guy has been available and been around all but what, week 6 or 7, something like that, against, I think he missed that one game this year. Every other week, he's been just an absolute beast, an absolute monster. The guy can do it all. He can catch. He can run. I think he had over 150 total yards today against the Bears. Yeah, Kirk Cousins has a fun weapon there with Justin Jefferson, but Thielen's 30, going to be 31 next year, I believe. Dalvin Cook is the engine that pulls this offense. So if Dalvin Cook is healthy again next year, Mike Zimmer loves to run the ball. Just keep doing what they're doing. Dalvin Cook's just going to be an absolute stud.
Yeah, I've got Dalvin Cook as my number 12. So we are lockstep in the first couple of picks. I think the biggest thing with Cook in Dynasty was everyone was like, oh, he had the shoulder injury in college and the knee injury. And like, oh, he's always hurt. Which, he had injury concerns. But when he wasn't injured, the guy's one of the best running backs in the league, hands down. Like Dalvin Cook, they run that offense through Cook. So without Cook, they're a totally different offense. I mean, look what when Madison played for Cook earlier this year, they struggled because Cook is such a talent. He is probably one of the finest running backs to watch in the NFL just because he's so damn good at what he does. So yeah, Dalvin Cook for me is locked in at number two. You know he's going to be on the team for a handful of years going forward, and you know what you got, and it's going to be 15 to 20 touchdowns every single year when he's on the field. So yeah, Dalvin Cook, easy peasy, lemon squeezy on that one. So that brings us to number three, which goes back to you, Tyler.
Yeah, it's Dalvin Cook, and it's for the same reasons. He got it, he got his money, so you know he's locked in for this team. Everybody is all worried about the offensive line. That doesn't look like to be a worry. Looks like they figured that one out pretty good. Mm-hmm. They put in Cleveland from Boise State, their draft pick they got, and he seems to be killing it on the right side, which has been a huge help to the offensive line. And they got Bradberry, who is pretty much a top five center at the in the time being mm-hmm. for the NFL. So yeah, I think Cook, his what you see now, as long as he's healthy, he's going to be doing for 2-3 more years. And I think for running back years, that's what we're looking for. And from what I've learned this year is I get the young rookies are nice and everything, but if they've got a contract and they're solidified for that team for 2 to 3 years, be happy with that, because running backs don't come often.
Mm-hmm. It's very true.
Yes. I think it's a good in dynasty is if you have a stud running back, look at it at like a 4 or 5 year window max. Anything past that, you're probably playing with quarter.
Yeah, if you get 4 to 5, you're very lucky. Yeah. I'd say 3. And if they make it out of the rookie contract, that's when I'm kind of looking to sell. Kind of seeing, okay, do I hit the refresh? Unless it's a CMC, Dalvin Cook, or another guy we'll talk about later.
The exceptional talent level type guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree with that. So that was Tyler's number 3 was Dalvin Cook. So mm-hmm. now we're going to move to Tim and see if we have the same player again.
Well, I'm going to stick with the guy I wrote down. As I'm thinking about this, though, a little bit more, I don't know if I love this guy at number 3, but he's 25. So close. No, my number 3 right now is Alvin Kamara. He's 25 right now, so we're getting close to that end of that 4 to 5 year window. He's coming up on that. And the reason I say I don't love it is if this is Drew Brees last year, we saw the first couple games where Drew Brees was out, Alvin Kamara's production really dipped. They did reformulate the offense a little bit in weeks like 3 and 4 of Drew Brees being out. We saw Alvin start to pick it back up. And obviously with Drew back this week, Alvin was a big part of the offense once again. As long as that head coach is there, and especially if Drew Brees is there, Alvin Kamara is going to be an absolute, you know, statistical monster. I absolutely love what he does on the field. He is that can do it all. He can run between the tackles. He can run outside. He can catch. He can run routes. So you can put him out there in the slot and let him go. And he's going to beat most of those nickel and dime corners. So I absolutely love Alvin Kamara. But yeah, like I said, as I'm getting ready to talk about this, I thought about, hey, there's a possibility that Drew Brees isn't around again next year. What's that going to do to Alvin? So I might have to bump him down a little bit, but for right now, I'll stick with it. Alvin at 3.
Okay. My number 3, we're close. I've got Derrick Henry at number 3. I know this might not be super popular, but here's the thing. So we know that Ryan Tannehill is going to be in Tennessee for years to come. Mm-hmm. We know the coach, Mike Vrabel, is probably not going anywhere. They've got A.J. Brown for years to come, and they have Derrick Henry for years to come. Mm-hmm. I was actually watching Adrian Peterson play a little bit earlier. He had a couple of goal line touches early in that Detroit game. And I was talking to my friend of mine. We were watching the game together, and we were looking. Then they cut to Derrick Henry, and I was like, man, I'm like, Derrick Henry is like kind of like the new age Adrian Peterson. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to get that workload. And I think Henry's got a long career, as much as it's not the norm in the NFL for a big guy like that to have a long career and successful career. I think that Derrick Henry is just different. And I know he doesn't catch the ball out of the backfield, but he doesn't need to. I mean, he's on pace for almost 2,000 rushing yards. He's an absolute hammer in the red zone. Like, I know it's ideal to have running backs that also catch passes, but man, Derrick Henry is just a different dude. So I'm not afraid of him at ranking him at number 3.
I'm afraid of him. I mean, let's be honest. I'm afraid of him.
I've stood across from Derrick Henry, and I'm 6'4", and I'm not obviously muscular. And I think I've told this story before. I was in an autograph show. It was Derrick Henry and Todd Gurley signing next to each other, and Todd stood up to shake Derrick Henry's hand, and he made Todd Gurley look like a toddler. Like, Derrick Henry is like looking at Chase Young, right? It's just like, I was just like, I can't believe this dude. It's amazing. And Derrick Henry is that dude. So I'm not afraid to have him in my top three at running back. I know that's probably not a popular opinion, but damn it, you have to respect the talent and the production that Derrick Henry is going to give you every single year.
Yeah, Tyler. I completely agree, and I don't hate it. And before, I would trash it, but I think after this year, if you are going to trash on Derrick Henry, I'm pretty sure you're wrong. I mean, Derrick Henry in a redraft league and a bunch of industry people has literally carried me all season to the championship. This team, I haven't hardly had to touch. And Derrick Henry's just been like, I got this, and carried it.
He's there every week. He only has a couple of off weeks here and there, but he's 100 yards and a touchdown almost every single week.
Yeah, and like you said with the AP thing, like what's not to say he's got 3-4 more years? Because if correct me if I'm wrong, in college, he didn't have many carries until his last two seasons.
That's correct.
I mean, I know his last season in Alabama, he had like 400 something, which was insane. But I mean, even as a pro, it wasn't until year four until he got these crazy touches until he broke out year three or four. And I mean, I know Darrington Evans. Yes, I'm happy he scored. I'm finally happy he's back. I love Darrington Evans, and I think they're going to fit very well. And he's going to ease a little bit of that workload off Derrick Henry. But I don't think to the point where you're going to be scared still. It's still going to be Derrick Henry.
Real quick, Evans looks like he's been in the weight room a little bit. Looks a little bit.
He looked a little beefy today when I saw him. I had to double take him.
He's been a little, not tiny, but one of the smaller backs in the class.
And because he had quote unquote COVID, aka they've been juicing that kid up in the weight room.
Or he's been working out with Derrick Henry, Jonnu Smith, and AJ Brown, just like doing reps on reps.
Yeah, I mean, on that AJ Brown DK Metcalf workout program.
I mean, can you imagine being in a weight room with Derrick Henry and AJ Brown, and they're just like, "Hey, you want to spot me?" Like that alone, spotting somebody, that alone would get you ripped. Like you're just like, "Okay, I got you. I got you.
Were you even lifting?"
Nice. I love it. So, Tyler, we're off to number four.
This is where you guys are going to think I'm crazy, and it's DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, you're crazy.
DeAndre Swift to me is the number four. New coaching staff coming in. They're going to see this very talented kid coming into year two. And I mean, look what he's doing in the second half of the year. He is already, in my opinion, the best rookie running back that's been out this year. I know Jonathan Taylor's come out late, but I mean, DeAndre Swift to me is the all-around talent. I think he's going to catch more passes next year. Maybe Matthew Stafford is gone. I hope not, because I think he is a good quarterback for what DeAndre Swift has. But I think DeAndre Swift is going to build off year one. I think next year, I think the moon is the ceiling for DeAndre Swift. I mean, he can do what Saquon's doing. He can do what CMC's doing. I just think he needs the right coach to see what this talent is and to give him that opportunity. And I mean, can he replicate what Kamara did this year? Yeah, sure. He just needs the opportunity. He's got the talent, and he's shown me what I thought he was going to do this year. And I think he did it actually sooner than what I thought.
Yeah. And congrats. If you middle of the season, you bought on the dip for DeAndre Swift, because there definitely was one. And I know he got moved in some leagues for a pretty reasonable price. So congrats on that. If you made that type of move. So Tim, who you got at number four?
My number four was your number three, Mr. Derrick Henry. I'm not gonna go.
I'll just cut in. He's my five. So you don't.
I'm not gonna go too much longer, because Doug, you made some really great points there. He is 26, be 27 next year. My biggest thing with Derrick Henry is that Titans offense is absolutely phenomenal. I believe at the beginning of the game they said they're the only offense in the league that has over 2,000 rushing yards and like 3,000 passing yards.
Yeah, they're also the most efficient, I believe.
Yeah, they're absolutely fantastic. That defense stinks and keeps other teams in the games. If they focus on the defensive side of the ball next year and really start to lock that side of the ball down, they're going to be in these positive game scripts where Derrick Henry is going to take the entire second half, run the ball 50 damn times, and he's just going to go absolutely bonkers. So I think there's even a bigger upside for Derrick Henry going forward if the team in Tennessee does the right things.
Yep. So my number four was Alvin Kamara. So I have him right around the same that you do. I actually put him a little bit below Henry because I am concerned around what the quarterback situation looks like going forward. So Drew Brees, I think he's got like a $40 million cap hit or something stupid next year for the New Orleans Saints. I think he's probably, this might be his last year. So if I had to guess, Drew Brees will hang it up. And I don't know if the quarterback of the future is Taysom Hill. Is it Jameis Winston? Like, I just don't know. Mm-hmm. I love Kamara's talent. That's never been in question. But it's the usage that they use him and Latavius Murray. I would love him just to have the backfield mostly to himself, but they use Latavius a lot as well. So Kamara, you know, no real major injury concerns there, but I do worry just about what the quarterback situation is going to look like. You know, we saw with Taysom Hill the first few weeks, very frustrating. And then finally he gets 10 receptions last week, which was like, all right, we're back to normal. And then Breeze is back today. So everyone's like, Alvin Kamara is a smash play in DFS, da 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 da. And with no Michael Thomas and Kamara, he had a nice game, but he didn't live up to those expectations. So I just have a little bit of question. I don't question the talent. I just don't like him more than Derrick Henry, because I think Derrick Henry's situation is solid for years to come, where I just don't know if Alvin Kamara can say the same. So obviously Alvin Kamara is the better all around back between these two, but I think Henry just is just a different dude. So he's my four. You said, Tyler, that you had Derrick Henry as your five. And we've talked about him a lot. So let's go to Tim's number five.
Well, Doug, if I'd have thought about that whole Alvin Kamara and the quarterback thing a little bit beforehand, we'd have the same exact ranking so far. And we kind of spoke a little bit before we started the episode. So I know our number five is the same as well. And that is Mr. Saquon Barkley. Tyler's number one. If you're going to ask me who the most talented all-around running back in the NFL is right now, just off of, you know, his size, athletic testing, and what we saw from him in college, Saquon is in there arguably. He is possibly the greatest running back prospect since Adrian Peterson, honestly, coming out of college. The guy, there's nothing he can't do. It's just he's been kind of on a crap team there in New York. They seem to have a very good coach in place. Daniel Jones, at times, is a very good quarterback. The offensive line's gotten better.
Now, should we be afraid of Daniel Jones taking rushing away from Barkley?
No, because we didn't see him really start to run the ball until after Barkley. Yeah. I mean, if you like watching a quarterback trip over his own feet at about the 10, yeah.
I mean, but I would do the same. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I can't say. I wouldn't have even made the corner. That defensive end would have crashed on me and lit me up. So
you'd be whipping out a Rain energy drink halfway.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Shout out to Rain. Looking for sponsors. Let's go.
So far. But no, Saquon Barkley, I look forward to him rehabbing. You see the commercials now, the yogurt company. You know, he's the strongest guy we know. If anybody's going to crush rehab, it's him. I look forward to seeing him next year, and he's just going to work as hard as he can to be the best player he possibly can be. The Giants are going to do the right things this offseason, and he's going to be in the best situation he's ever been in the NFL so far.
Yep. So, yeah. So, like you said, Barkley is my number five as well. Agree with all those things there. But, you know, obviously the injuries over the last year and a half now, a little frustrating. So, another example, like if you're Tyler, so he's got him at number one, we've got him at five. There's obviously some value to be had there. So, in the offseason, probably one of the best targets you can go for on price-wise is going to be Saquon Barkley. So, that's the lesson that I just learned while we were podcasting. Love me some lessons. All right. Let's go to number six. We're back to Tyler.
This is going to be, we're going to go to home improvement, Jonathan Taylor Thomas. We're going to go with him at six. You know, earlier in the season, his vision was kind of meh. And I think it was more of a learning curve.
It was the Miles Sanders thing from last year.
His vision in the whole of the past, like three games, has been great. His little sidestep he does now and then just takes off with that burst. Oh, man. And you could tell the game is slowing down for him. And that's all it needed. That's all it needed to
Miles happen. Sanders is right. Yeah,
for Jonathan Taylor to absolutely take off. And Taylor, to me, with the youth, the offensive line, and I know Philip Rivers isn't great. He's not bad. He's not
been
good.
Really good this year.
He's been okay. I mean,
for what you expected, Philip Rivers has been really good.
Hey, Wentz, Stafford, or Matt Ryan are gonna look really good there in Indianapolis.
That's true. They seem like a team that's going to kind of recycle, and I could see Wentz going there because, you know,
Frank Reich. Yeah.
And there is, like, you hear on the stations, like, oh, he misses Frank Reich. They must have had a very close relationship, because
he's got that meme where he's holding a picture of Frank Reich and he's like
the
touching it.
Yeah. I the Wolverine one where he's looking at. Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, Wentz, that'd be a perfect spot. I mean, that would be great. I'm getting excited for that. And that there's another buy low opportunity, by the way. Carson Wentz is pretty much left for dead. If you can get a shovel and dig him out of the grave he is now in, I think you can get him for pretty cheap, because I do believe that he's a 49er, or even Indianapolis Colts would be a great landing spot as well. He's going to find a new team. He's already come out and said that he wants
he doesn't want to be a backup.
Yeah, if he's not the starter. And by the way, Tim, congratulations on finding a Donovan McNabb like quarterback. I mean, that fumble he had to throw reminded me so much of Donovan McNabb, who was like, who would put himself into situations.
You're constantly making mistakes, and you have to make some bonehead play.
Make a play that just turns out every time for him. That's Donovan McNabb, and Jalen Hurts looks to be that guy. If you bought Jalen Hurts super cheap, which I had so many opportunities, and I almost did, but I was so nervous to put in that extra second rounder in Superflex leagues, but I'm an idiot. So I am the one hurting, and you guys are all succeeding. So I'm going to go sulk, and I'll let these guys talk.
Yeah. Well, I was luckily enough to acquire Jalen Hurts on the cheap in one Superflex league, which made my heart smile when he's been performing so well, because I needed quarterback help, and now it's like, oh, I got one, and it was cheap.
He just seems like a dude. You know, he just seems like he's got it.
He reminds me a lot of Russell Wilson when I watch him play.
He's got the oomph.
Yes, I believe you can get that on a t-shirt. Is that what I've heard, Tyler?
Yeah, ViridianGlobal.com.
Boom. Prestige worldwide. All right, Tim, we are at number six. Give me yours.
My number six is the 22-year-old running back over in Las Vegas, Mr. Josh Jacobs. Since entering the league, the guy's been extremely consistent. The concern going into this year was, will he see more passing work? He has. He's not an Alvin Kamara in the passing game. He's not a Christian McCaffrey in the passing game, but you like to see your guys at least get targeted in the passing game. Second year in a row, for whatever reason, this Raiders offense just plummets in December. They play fantastic the first 3 months of the season, and then December comes, and they're like, hey, let's not make the playoffs. But Josh Jacobs is a rock star on that team, and I think he's going to continue to be a pillar in that offense going forward.
Gotcha. My number six is also Jonathan Taylor Thomas. I heavily invested in Jonathan Taylor in the offseason in the leagues that I had, the 101 or the 102. A lot of people went CEH. Taylor was my 101 going in. I just like Tyler said, early season were a struggle. Tim said, just like we saw Miles Sanders last year, have problems with vision where he's missing big holes and not making moves. And over the course of time, once they kind of got accustomed to the NFL speed, they made the necessary adjustments to be successful. And I think that's what we're seeing from Jonathan Taylor. You know, that backfield is his now. They're still going to use Nyheim Hines. I get that. But the biggest thing for Jonathan Taylor, I think he's the only running back in the league with over 20 receptions that he has no drops. He has a 100% catch rate out of the backfield. And that's something that, like, Wisconsin running backs typically don't catch the football in college. But we've seen Melvin Gordon be successful in the passing game.
James, now White we're laughing at you.
Yes, James. Sorry, James. Monty Ball, not laughing. But, you know, what we're seeing out of Jonathan Taylor is just like, okay, we knew he was a stud running back in college, but now that he's got this passing game production, it makes him that much better. And what we're seeing with him, he had a move at the goal line today where he just pretty much planted his left foot, hopped, made the guy miss, and was like, whoop. And I was like, that's the Jonathan Taylor that I wanted to see. And you wouldn't have seen that in the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season. So Jonathan Taylor is coming into his own. We all know about the offensive line and everything like that. So that's why I've got Jonathan Taylor as my number six. So Tyler, we've got lucky number seven. Who's it going to be?
It's Alvin Kamara. And it's for the same reasons you guys talked about. And I think I just haven't been impressed with him. He doesn't get many touches. He scores. I think he's more touchdown based than anything. He does have amazing lateral agility and vision, but with a new quarterback, and if they can't find a quarterback, like say they do make a trade for a Sam Darnold and he becomes a quarterback, can Sean Payton be on the same page with that quarterback? And that's what is going to be the big difference. And I do think Breeze is gone. I mean, he signed a contract with NBC the end of last year. Mm-hmm. So I have a feeling this is Breeze's last year. That dude is banged up. That guy, he's got to be falling apart inside and outside.
And he's got more broken ribs than a Longhorn Steakhouse.
Nice. Very well done. Judges? An 8.5. Okay.
I'll take it.
But yeah, Kamara to me is one of those guys that I do worry about. And I mean, I say this about a lot of running backs. I worry about all these running backs. All these running backs have warts. And Kamara, I think his warts are showing the most at this moment. And I think it's because we've seen it without Breeze.
I can dig that. So, Tim, we're off to you for number seven.
Number seven for me is Mr. Ezekiel Elliott, the Cowboys running back. The first 5 weeks of the season, let me read off you his PPR scoring. 27.7, 20.2, 17.8, 19.5, 23.5. Week five is the week that Mr. Dakota Prescott was injured, placed on the IR. Since then, he has had... What's that?
You had to make me remember Dak's injury.
Since Dak's injury, Zeke has had one game above 13.5 PPR fantasy points.
How many has Tony Pollard had?
He had a very good game today. I will say that. But Ezekiel Elliott, when Dakota comes back next season, that offense is going to be humming. They have the receiving core. Because of that receiving core, you can no longer stack the box against Zeke. And if you give Zeke a box of six, seven guys, he's going to win. He's going to win. So I like Zeke going into next year with a healthy Dakota Prescott. Let's go with Zeke at seven. I think that's value right there.
Man, when you talked about the receiving core and thinking about what CeeDee Lamb did today, it makes me excited about our following episode for the receivers and just how insane it's going to be with all these young receivers. And there's some really good ones coming out in 2021.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So moving on to my number seven to wrap up the lucky number, it's Nick Chubb for me. So I think Nick Chubb is just perennially underrated. I know that, you know, there's Kareem Hunt and he's going to be there for a few years because they did sign him to an extension. That doesn't really deter me. With Stefanski, he's shown that both Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt can eat. I mean, we saw Nick Chubb last week get two touchdowns. Kareem Hunt got two touchdowns. Like, there's enough to go around for both of these guys. And I think Nick Chubb, you know, we talk about talent. I think he's one of the most talented runners of the football in the league. I would put him right up there with Derrick Henry as far as, like, ability to run the football. And, you know, he's not easy to take down. And I just love Nick Chubb. I think he's going to be attached to Cleveland for years to come. I like what they're doing there. I like what they've done with that offensive line. So I've got Nick Chubb at number seven.
My favorite runner in the league.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
I agree. I've got his Funko Pop right to my left. And he is actually my number eight. And for all the same reasons. And I do think Cleveland signs him. I do think they will give him an extension. If not, I think he is not team dependent. I think he can crush it anywhere. So
I agree.
Nick Chubb is, he's one of my favorite runners. I mean, strength, agility, vision. He can catch the ball out of the backfield.
He's a home run hitter.
Yeah, he can do everything. He is awesome.
Yep, absolutely. So that moves us to Tim for his number eight.
My number eight is Antonio Gibson.
Whew.
I look for the Washington football team. I almost went with that dirty, dirty old name they used to have. I look for that team to be a player in the offseason for one of these quarterbacks. If they got
Zach Wilson out of BYU would be a.
They definitely could draft one if depending on if they win the division or not, where they're going to fall in the draft. But either draft one or go get one of these guys in free agency this year or via trade for a team that's trying to rebuild. I think you saw when Alex Smith came in, that offense seemed to work a little bit better. I think they need that on offense. Dwayne
Haskins.
Dwayne Haskins is rough to watch.
Ungood.
I've been saying it since the start.
You have.
You know, I've been one of the loudest voices on the anti-Dwayne Haskins train. Antonio Gibson, it took him a while to really get fully developed in this offense, but when he did, the guy's got a lot of electricity, I should say. And when he plays, he's a highlight reel. I love watching this guy run the ball. I'm going to hate watching this guy run the ball against my Eagles for the, you know, next 5, 6, 7 years, but I'll put him at number eight in my list right now because I think the future's bright for this young man.
Gotcha. My number eight, you should probably know this is coming sooner than later. It's my boy. It's number 33 of your Green Bay Packers.
Aaron?
It's Aaron freaking Jones. Yeah. I'm not worried about where Aaron Jones is going to land. I think Green Bay is going to re-sign him. It is clear to me that when they run their offense with Aaron Jones in the backfield, good things happen. Mm. We've seen it every time. When they start to put Jamal Williams or they start to get away from running the football, that's when they start to peter out. Aaron Jones, you know, we saw him play yesterday, over 100 yards. Again, a home run hitter. He does everything well. He can catch passes. The one knock on Aaron Jones about playing time was that he couldn't pass block and he couldn't pass protect. It's something that he's worked on a ton, and now you're seeing that Aaron Jones is getting on the field more and more. I think he's going to be the next running back in free agency to have a nice payday, and I think it's going to be with the Packers. They like to retain their own players. I think that it's very important that Aaron Rodgers trusts Aaron Jones. They have the same birthday. Hello, same name, same birthday. They have to keep them together. Yeah. So Aaron Jones, to me, I actually think he's a little underrated in dynasty circles. For whatever reason, I'm not really aware. But Aaron Jones is awesome. He's one of my favorite running backs to watch and root for because I've owned him in just a ton of leagues because I was on him out of college. So you can say it's a little bit of a heart overhead for this one, but I've got Aaron Jones at number 8. So that brings us to Tyler for number 9.
My number 9 is J.K. Dobbins. And I think from what we've been seeing, Mark Ingram was a healthy scratch today. I mean, yeah, Gus Edwards is a good kind of goal line back, but Dobbins looks to be the
I think Edwards is actually more than that, but that's okay. That's another debate for another day.
I think Edwards is a very underrated running back, and if Atlanta has a running back need, I would love for Gus Edwards to go to Atlanta or even Buffalo would be a great fit. I mean, he's 10 times better than Zach Moss. So Gus Edwards to Buffalo or Atlanta would be a great fit. But Dobbins is the future there, man. That guy is so good. His contact balance is great. He's like Kareem Hunt in a way. His play style meets with a better Kareem Hunt.
It's weird to me. It was always been weird to me that he wears 27, which is what Ray Rice used to wear. And I see a little bit of Ray Rice in his game, a little bit taller, but I see some of it with the contact balance too.
Yes. And Dobbins to me in this offense, if they can get him the ball, the thing that frustrates me is so much how Lamar Jackson doesn't look at running backs when he's dropping back and they're always open.
I think he's not comfortable with those kind of throws. I think that's what it comes down to.
It could be. I mean, it could be the Cam Newton factor. But Cam Newton,
why they're always open, Tyler, is because they're watching the same thing you're watching. And defenses go, oh yeah, he just doesn't throw to them, so we'll just cover all these guys.
True. We got 4 people on Mark Andrews and one on Hollywood.
We're gonna double Hollywood. We're gonna quadruple Mark Andrews,
and we'll let the running back run the play. Mark Andrews is a man, but Dobbins to me is going to be a big riser, and I still think you can get him on the cheap right now. I have him at 9. I bet you could get him for running back 2 prices at the moment. And I mean, for the right owner, if you are running back needy and you have like 106, go get Dobbins because this running back class is okay. I don't think it's anything like it was this past year or the year before that. But man, if you need a running back, go out and get some of these guys from the 2020 class because they are going to hit big next year.
Yeah, I think J.K. Dobbins could have that like ascension to stardom next year. I think if we do this next year, like we could be like, yeah, Dobbins is a top 5 guy.
Ronnie Stanley's coming back. Well, the Browns going to move back to the right tackle. Hopefully they get that guard position fixed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of positive things for J.K. Dobbins going forward. So we were at number 9. I'm starting to lose track here. Sorry.
My number nine is Tyler's favorite rookie running back. I'll take DeAndre Swift up there. Detroit. The young man, again, another guy that for whatever reason, they were like, hey, let's run this old man into the middle of the offensive line like 3 times and they punt the ball. Mm-hmm. And then they said, hey, why don't we try the young kid, see what he does? And once they figured that out, the guy
was that.
Yeah, imagine that. Yeah, one of the most elusive RBs coming out.
If you have a rookie running back, go sign Adrian Peterson and let that running back learn from AP because it seems like every time AP touches the mind of a young running back, Antonio Gibson, don't forget, he was with Washington at the beginning of the year. Antonio Gibson said he learned a lot from AP. DeAndre Swift right now, Alvin Kamara in the past. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Delvin Cook was on the team when AP. I could be wrong.
I don't know. Maybe.
It could have been after the whole off the field thing that we don't like to bring up.
Yeah, when they made the switch to Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's AP, we're going to move on. AP could be that mentor. That a running back kind of needs. The words, like, Swift struggled with that drop at the beginning of the year. And you know, I was depressed about it. And AP probably is like, hey, kid, like, who cares? Move on. Go on to next week. Yep. What's in the past in the past? And I think AP is a good mentor at his age right now. Kind of like Frank Gore.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Really like DeAndre Swift up there in Detroit. And I hope the next coaching staff does use him appropriately, because if they do, I feel good about having him here at number 9.
Oh, absolutely. So speaking of a guy to be used appropriately, we saw it today. He got all the touches except for one out of the backfield for Philadelphia, and it's Miles Sanders. So going into the season, a lot of people, Miles Sanders' dynasty stock rose quite a bit.
Yeah.
Obviously, we know what happened with the Eagles early in the season under Carson Wentz. The offensive line has been in shambles with injuries. Well, guess what? That offensive line, most of them should be back and healthy next year. We're talking Brandon Brooks. We're talking Lane Johnson. Like, all these guys should be back and healthy. And the thing that bumps Miles Sanders up for me and makes him my number 9 is the fact that the way Jalen Hurts has looked and the way that the two of them work together. So it looks like they're finally like, you know what? We're going to commit to Miles Sanders and give him all the touches. Now, we didn't have a crazy day today, but he had a great game last week against the Saints. And I just love what Miles Sanders does from a skill set standpoint. He, you know, obviously we know that him and Saquon went to school together. I see a lot of similarities in their game. Obviously, I think Sanders is probably a little bit more elusive, where Barkley has more power. But Sanders, I think, is going to be an RB1 in this league going forward. So I've got Miles Sanders rock solid number 9 for me on this list. So now we're going to dip into double digits. We've got number 10, and we're going to go to Tyler.
Sanders, Miles Sanders at number 10 for me. So perfect on that. And I completely agree. And what I was going to tweet actually a couple of weeks ago is Miles Sanders is a man. Like, that dude looks like he belongs.
He's Manders.
Like he belongs as a top 5 running back in the NFL. And it's just, you know, the offense and offensive line has been in shambles. So comes in Jalen Hurts, and he has 13 for like 100 and something in 2 tutties. And I mean, like you said, this week it wasn't the greatest, but he looks very good. And if he can stay healthy for a whole season, just like Dalvin Cook, we all talked about how Dalvin Cook looks amazing. And if he's just healthy, I feel the same with Sanders. And if that offensive line can come back, I think they're returning 35 starters on the offensive line, I'm pretty sure.
At least.
Something like that, yeah.
So Sanders, I think, will be better. And with Jalen Hurts coming into his second year as the starter and probably getting rid of Wentz and kind of just moving past that, I think the whole team is going to have a different outlook. And I just think there's a cloud over it with the whole Wentz thing until that's gone. And once it is gone, I do think the offense in Philadelphia and the defense in the Philadelphia team as a whole will actually be better.
Absolutely. So, Tim, who you got at number 10?
My number 10 is Jonathan Taylor. The past 3 weeks for Jonathan Taylor owners have been fantastic. This is exactly what you wanted to see. We talked about it earlier. The first half of the season, he's just missing holes. He's missing reads. He's making bad cuts. He's not watching his blockers and seeing where the blocks are being set up. And therefore, he's missing out on a couple extra little yards. But just like Miles Sanders did in his rookie year, it took him about 7-8 games, and he finally got that stuff started to figure out. We're seeing that with Jonathan Taylor. Here's my advice to somebody that does not have Jonathan Taylor shares. Next week, the Colts play the Pittsburgh defense, and Pittsburgh's probably going to do everything they can to put the brakes on Jonathan Taylor from keep going off for, you know, his near 20 points out of fantasy. Let him have a bum week in week 16. These fantasy managers that have him in their championship lineups, he busts in week 16. Send those offers out. Go get yourself some Jonathan Taylor on a slight dip after you see that second half surge.
I think he's going to do well against the Steelers. Hot take.
I hope he does.
But. Me too. My number 10 is DeAndre Swift, which we've talked about at length. I agree with everything you guys said. The talent's there. We just need to see the usage on a consistent basis backing that up. So, Tyler, let's get to you for number 11.
Mine is Antonio Gibson. I agree with Tim. I just think we've seen kind of the trunk of the tree. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to start seeing it blossom, start seeing Gibson grow as a player. This offense is going to be better. And if it's Alex Smith and they go for the offensive line, or maybe they draft a new turf for that field, that would be also great. But
they draft a groundskeeper.
We drafted him out of Scotts.
Out of Tim Georgia Smith. Botany School, Bob Thomas.
Did you say Rob Thomas or Bob Thomas? Bob.
He's so smooth. You had to draft him.
Yeah. No, Gibson, I think he's going to be better as a pass catcher. He's already shown us everything we need to see as a runner, and that's without some of their offensive line. So I think Gibson will have a better 2021. I do think they draft a quarterback. It could be Kyle Trask, who's shown very well, but it doesn't matter who they have as long as it's not Dwayne Haskins. I think Gibson will succeed and do well. So he's my 11.
I think he could be the next Kamara with his passing work in college and his.
I would say David Johnson. I could see David Johnson, because I think he's a better runner. I think he's a better runner than Kamara, personally. Yes. Like he can actually carry a workload.
Gotcha. I like that. Tim, who you got at number 11?
My number 11 is the running back for my Philadelphia Eagles. That is Miles Sanders. I don't know what the hell was going on. The first half of the season with Wentz, Sanders would get 7-8 carries in the first half. He'd have 70-80 yards. And then the second half, he touched the ball a whole three damn times. And it
was Aston.
I was watching these games, losing my mind. Like the same thing, Doug, you mentioned with Aaron Jones earlier. Going into halftime, Aaron Jones looked like an absolute stud. The last two drives before half, they just completely get away from Aaron Jones. They go three passes out, punt both times. And it's like, why would you get away from that? And that's exactly what was happening to Miles Sanders. I think with Jalen Hurts there, they're going to be a more balanced offense. They're going to stick with Miles Sanders throughout the entire game. And he's doing very well this year behind a very piss poor offensive line that is completely shuffled around every damn week. You get some sort of consistency in front of Jalen and Miles. I think they're both going to do very well.
So also, thank God for my Jalen Reagor shares that Jalen Hurts is in. I thought of that.
Now, finally, we have a rookie receiver that does something, J-Jaw.
Yeah. You don't say that name.
He's like the name that Sean Appy said.
Spoken, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. My number 11, we've talked about him before. It's J.K. Dobbins. I think he is potentially set to explode here in 2021. And that's someone that I'm going to be trying to acquire if I can in the offseason. So, yeah, love me, J.K. Dobbins. We talked about the contact balance and all that stuff. So completely agree there. So we're going to wrap this up. This is our last round of players. And we are at number 12, rounding out the first round, if you will. So Tyler, who you got at the 12th spot?
Now, I had Eckler.
Really?
I did. I had Eckler because I think that pass catching is going to be safe for multiple years. And that's what I like out of a running back. I want somebody... That could be like James White, but is better than James White.
The new coaches have to want their own guy.
That's
my concern.
I mean, Eckler has signed. I do think the coaching staff will like Eckler, but I think he's going to be more of a role player moving on, which is what he should be.
Kind of like what he was last year with him and Gordon.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not that he was a role player per se, but you know what I mean.
Now, a player that they could draft. Yes, I'm going to a 2021 rookie. A player they could draft. Travis Etienne is my 12. And it's because I love the explosiveness. I love the speed. His size, I hope he weighs in at like 205, 210. I know he hit the weight room and he went in the offseason and he came back to Clemson because he wanted to work on his pass catching. And he worked on his pass catching. And he did very well as a pass catcher. And I don't think we have to worry about that anymore. Etienne to me is the running back one in this class. I know people are going to have the big boy from Alabama.
Najee, Chuba.
Chuba. I think Etienne, I feel like it has been for a while now, in my opinion. I just think he's got that NFL type playmaker in him. Mm-hmm. He fits kind of the mold. And it depend. It's all team dependent. I know we talked about that off air. Is running backs in this day and age are very team dependent. I would love to see Atlanta in the second round to take Travis Etienne. I would like a lot of teams to take him that need running backs. And there's going to be actually a lot of teams that need him, because I think there's going to be a little more turnover at the running back position than we've seen. I think, you know, the 2020 class, we've kind of got them locked down. I think Akers is going to be the lead back in LA next year. Dobbins, we talked about those. But there's going to be some teams that are really looking for some running back help. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm not too excited other than Etienne and Najee.
Well, there's a couple guys in there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where it all shakes out come April. For show. Tim.
Oh, show.
Let's wrap it up. Who you got at 12?
My number 12 is, as I stated earlier, my favorite runner in the entire NFL. The only reason I have him here at 12 is because they also have another fantastic running back in Kareem Hunt there. So my guy's Nick Chubb. The guy has a 5.87 yard per carry average in the NFL.
He might be good. He might be good. I mean,
the guy's an absolute monster. Anytime he gets over 19 carries, he goes over 100 yards. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, just get this guy the ball. As long as he's healthy, he's a model consistency. Just give him his touches. He's going to rack up the yardage. You know, he's got 9 touchdowns on the year, so more times than not, he's going to stuff one in the end zone for you. Fantastic for, you know, fantasy owners. He's that guy that as long as you know he's playing and he's healthy, you can just plug him in and not have to worry about it. He's going to get you production. He's not this guy that, you know, I need a certain game script to go my way. So I absolutely love Nick Chubb. Doug, let's hear your number 12. I have a couple guys that I hated leaving off, but this was really tough to get guys in here.
Yeah, I was split between two players at number 12. I was split between Josh Jacobs and Zeke Elliott. Mm. I went with Josh Jacobs. I think you look at what he did this year, and he's shown flashes of success. He's obviously been frustrating to own because, you know, you look at yards per carry, which isn't the end-all be-all stat for you old-school players out there that used to hang on that yards per carry. But you look at his broken tackle percentage, yards after contact, they line up very well with his rookie season. Now, we obviously saw Oakland's offensive line, no Trent Brown, no Richie Incognito, both pretty much Pro Bowlers last year. So they've had some injuries along the line. I like Josh Jacobs' talent quite a bit. I put him above Zeke. Zeke, I think, the only thing I'm afraid of with Zeke is that he's going to hit that cliff and he's going to fall off of it really quickly. It may be in a year or two. I would rather have Josh Jacobs for the next 4 or 5 than Zeke for a year or two. I think that's really what it came down to. I think the Cowboys are probably going to regret giving Zeke that big contract, especially when you got like Tony Pollard, who's good at football. Not to say that he's going to take over for Zeke, but I like Josh Jacobs a lot. I think they're going to build around him on that offense, no matter who's the quarterback going forward, if it's Derek Carr in the future or someone else. So I went with Josh Jacobs to wrap up my number 12. But it was hard to leave Zeke off this list. I've owned him in a bunch of dynasty leagues. I've traded him in a couple spots. And I thought about Antonio Gibson as well, having him right on the cusp, because you look at a guy he's only been a running back for a freaking year and he's having success in the NFL just based on pretty much raw talent. He's only going to get better. And Washington is only going to get better around him. So he was hard to leave off this list too. So Tyler, you got any honorable mentions before we wrap it up?
Yeah, Zeke and Josh Jacobs were off my list. And Josh Jacobs, I actually have a little more worries than Zeke. And it's just because of coaching staff. I feel like they don't consistently give him the ball. I mean, with Mariota, if Mariota plays well the next couple of games, do they have a quarterback controversy? Do they have that coming in? With me, I just feel like I'm going to be safer with Zeke. With Dak as quarterback, Zeke to me
Dak is quarterback.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if they let Dak go, they've got to be the worst run franchise ever.
This is the Cowboys we're talking about. They've made really dumb decisions in the past.
We got to say it's the NFC East, because I feel like the NFC East is known for this. So I mean, if Dak becomes the quarterback again, I think Zeke will be fine. For me, I think Zeke needs to change his diet. And it's the way he kind of molds himself. He's become this more power back over the years. But remember when Zeke came in, that dude was elusive. I mean, if he hit a hole, he was gone. I feel like he's missing that burst a little bit, and I don't think it's because of injury. I just think it's because he needs to change a little bit of his diet and change his kind of lifestyle a little bit. Like we talked about J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins did that his senior year, or his last year at Ohio State. He talked about how he wasn't dieting right, and he cut out some foods, and he became quicker and felt better. And maybe that.
What do Ewoks eat, Tyler? Do they eat like mostly like gamey things on Endor? Human flesh. Zeke needs to cut down on that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it depends if they're in the jungle or the desert. Maybe he spent too much time with the sugary fruits on Endor.
Oh, that is possible too. Yeah. He was feasting on the skin of dead stormtroopers. I don't know.
That could be it. But I mean, Zeke is a very talented running back still, and I do think he is a game changer. He's one of those running backs that can change a game. He needs a little more oomph in his step. Yeah, I'm going to bring it back. And Zeke, I know he still has it in him.
Yeah, that explosiveness has waned.
Yeah, and I, like I said, I don't think he's had a major injury that's been like, oh God, like that's going to affect him. I just think it's something he needs to bring back. He needs to work on. I think he's become more of just a straight line power back runner. And that's what Dallas asked of him. Like, come on, man, bring back the old Zeke. We miss him.
Yeah. Tim, you got any honorable mentions you wanted to mention before you wrap up?
I have quite a few. No, I think I wrote five down. It really pained me to not put Aaron Jones on my list. My concern,
that was a surprise to me.
Yeah. My concern was that he won't be back in Green Bay. If he does go back to Green Bay, and I really hope he does, I'll definitely have him in my top 12. But as of right now with that question, I just don't know. James Robinson, the undrafted rookie down there in Jacksonville, has been nothing but spectacular this year. North-South runner.
Pair him with Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. You get him in a growing offense, new coaching staff. I think James Robinson could be better. The team as a whole should be better next year. Yeah.
Yes. LaVisca Chenault, if they get Trevor Lawrence. Yeah. Holy crap.
Go get LaVisca. Go buy him.
Yeah.
Go get him.
Colin, if you want to go get Colin Johnson too while you're at it. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. I picked
and
him
DJ Shark.
In the league. I was like, ooh, he's still here.
DJ Shark.
Yeah. J.K. Dobbins did not make my list. I think he is the workhorse there in Baltimore next year, and he's looked very good. Remember week one? I think he scored twice. That was fantastic. But J.K. Dobbins was tough to get in the top 12, but I like him for next year. Cam Akers.
Yeah. Yeah.
The guy's on the rise. I think the Rams have started to see what they have in this young man. I think his stock's going to rise. I don't know if he breaks that top 12 for many people, but he's in that next group right below that top 12. And then the brand new Derrick Henry, David Montgomery. What's up, boys?
Okay. Like,
put Trubisky in and David Montgomery goes ham.
I think they talked about it on the, you know, during the game, mm-hmm. the broadcast did, and how they've been switching the offensive line all season. And then mm-hmm. all of a sudden it was like, okay, for all the Skyrim players, there's a thing where you need the Dragon Claw and you need to switch the stones to make it. And then you hit the Dragon Claw and then it unlocks this door and it starts spinning. That's what I imagine the offensive line was like. They kept trying these different codes, trying the different setups, and then finally it just lined up.
Got the one to work.
Unlocked, and then it was just like boom.
I would love to say like, oh, they figured out the offensive line, but I think it's more of like he's benefiting from a soft schedule.
That's also been true, but
you're benefiting from a soft schedule.
As far as the rookies go, it's really hard without knowing these landing spots, because I think so many of these rookies are going to be landing spot dependent, really trying to stuff these guys into these top 12s when you got so many of these established.
Who's your favorite rookie?
My favorite rookie right now, it's between Chubb or Travis, but the guys I have on my list here is potential depending on where they land. Travis Etienne, Najee Harris, Kenny Gainwell out of Memphis, Chubb, Javonte Williams out of UNC, Zamir White from Georgia. Who else? Kylan Hill, Mississippi State. I mean, he was a bit of a surprise when they kind of beat LSU to start the season. They upset LSU. Guys are receiving back. He could be a Kamara type. So those are some of the guys that I'm really liking so far out of this rookie class. They got to land in the right spot, though.
You know what I'm super proud of? We just recorded for an hour and talked about 2021 running back ranks. And not once did I hear MEH's name whispered. And that makes me happy.
I think a lot of it has to do with the injury. I think he has a better 2021 than he had.
To me, it's not even about the injury. I just have not been impressed. I think you drop Damian. If Damian Williams didn't hold out this season.
When he's back.
Yep. I think Damian Williams is a better running back in that system.
I think CEH is going to be a buy. I think people are going
to. Sure. I mean, he went from 101 value to you could probably get him for like a late first now.
Yeah.
So I don't disagree with that. I've just never been a big CEH.
What'd he do to you?
Nothing. I just was like, yo, you're an explosive offense in college. Like, yeah, you looked good for a year. Nick Brossette beat you out for a starting job 2 years ago. Who was an undrafted free agent for the Pats and is out of the league. Like, I just think it was like a storm of success for CEH. And then obviously he gets drafted by the Chiefs. Everyone's like, you know, they're walking around with sweatpants boners because they got the 101. They're going to get CEH. He's the truth redraft. People are taking him in the first round. He's going to explode. He's going to be awesome. We've seen some good flashes, but for the most part, I've been like, okay, maybe it's going to take him some time. I don't know, but I'm just
Look at today's game. Today's game, he went 14-4-78 or yeah, that's pretty good against the number one rushing defense. So
They also did just give up 100 yards and 2 touchdowns to Sanders. So,
But I mean, Miles Sanders with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts went over 100. I actually got CEH in early November for Ronald Jones and a late first. I want to say
I would take that. I would love that deal.
I'd rather have Ronald James in the lead first, but that's just me.
Ronald James? Who's Ronald James?
Ronald James. He's Richie James's cousin. Richie James Stadium. That's where they play. You know that. Richie James Stadium. All right. I'm going to give you guys an up. Tyler, why don't you take us home? Give us some shout outs, some holiday warm wishes, where everyone should go, what we got going on at DHH. I'm going to let you go. Then Tim can say some nice words, and then we're going to get out of here.
Yeah, hopefully everybody has a good holiday. You guys can get shirts, DHH shirts for the holidays, and those are at ViridianGlobal.com. And you're going to be able to follow us after week 16. We're coming back every week. We're going to record every week. We're going to start working towards the rookies. Mm-hmm. And like we've already talked about these episodes. It's going to be a fun class. It's going to be interesting. We're all hoping for Trevor Lawrence to go to Jacksonville to up those weapons. Man, that would be something else. You know, Justin Fields going to the Jets then, possibly. Would that change it? Would they stick with Darnold? Would they go with Fields? Who knows? This draft is going to be fun. It's going to be a great offseason. And I mean, I cut a bunch of leagues. It sucked, but I'm going to start focusing on my home leagues and, the UDPL. And the listener league.
2 weeks, and then you'll be like, I joined 5 startups. I couldn't resist.
No, I can't do that. I can't do that because I've got to spend time with Doug playing Fortnite, playing.
It's true.
No. And yeah, just enjoy your guys' holiday. Take a break. It's been a rough 2020. We are coming to the end of it. And hopefully 2021, I know I'm getting my COVID shot in like a month or so, and hopefully things start progressing better, and hopefully we start seeing a little more change for the positive, and let's look for 2021 to be a great year where we can actually talk to one another and see our mouths move. Because I will tell you what, working in a hospital, when you're talking to somebody and all you see is a mask and you can't hear them, you can't really lip read.
Yeah.
It's very hard.
Charlie Brown's teacher.
Yeah, pretty much.
So hopefully we can get rid of those masks, throw them into the fire with the Carson Wentz jerseys, and enjoy our 2021.
Absolutely. Tim.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'll take this couple brief moments to say I hope everybody has a great holiday season. I enjoy Festivus. We should air our grievances, show feats of strength, all that kind of good stuff. If you're a fan of Seinfeld, you know what I'm talking about. But other than that, I'm now going to take this time to cut a promo on my home league, my league of record. I'm back, bitches. I'm back. I'm in the championship game. I'm playing one of the two Applebees. I'm taking these down. It doesn't matter. This is my title. I spent all day sitting out here sharpening my hatchet. I'm taking your head clean off with this thing. Ah, let's go.
Tim, throw it down. He actually does physically have a hatchet. It's quite amazing.
Doug, you want to talk about... We'll talk about your trophy you could win from Trophy Smack. I'm holding it. I'm the past champion.
Don't curse me. Nothing's guaranteed. We'll
Doug,
play next
sure?
week. I just want to I just want to let you, if you're in your championship game next week, first of all, congratulations. We hope that you go and get that W because there's nothing sweeter. Winning redraft is cool. It's great, but winning your dynasty league just feels even sweeter because let's be honest, you probably put way more work into your dynasty teams than you do your redraft ones. So when you take that title in a dynasty league, it is that much more satisfying. At least to me, I hope you all feel the same. But yeah, go get that championship. Check out Trophy Smack. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say. Let's wrap this thing up. We will see you in 2021 on the Dynasty Happy Hour.